Part 4, Application in Orthodox Schools Today. In this last section, I would like to consider 10 points of reflection for the application of technology in our schools today. Number 1, we must rely on our expert educators in the church in addressing the question of modern technology. Who are our expert educators? The saints, as St. Justin Popovich teaches. While there's certainly value in bringing together those who specialize in education and have been academically educated in the faith, it is the saints who know the inner workings of grace and can guide us at a deeper level. I want to be clear here, though. I'm not simply talking about reading about what the holy men and women of our day have written about technology. Physical presence is important. St. Justin writes, quote, "The saints send forth light, and on account of this he enlightens and educates." So we need our children in the presence of holy men and women. Orthodox schools, if possible, should make pilgrimages to monasteries, and the schools should make the engagement with holy men and women of our time a priority, as these men and women bring the illumination of the uncreated light to our children in a tangible way. In addition, of course, schools should cultivate the Orthodox life of asceticism, the sacraments, and the liturgical life of the church within the context of a local parish. Number 2, the cultivation of the inner spiritual life and growth of our children should always be more valuable than the external intellectual education we provide to them. Our Orthodox schools must be mindful of this fact. We must maintain a deep sensitivity to all aspects of our approach to education, not just technology, to ensure that it aligns with our lives as Orthodox Christians. Is the classroom experience attuning our children to the inner movements of their heart? Is the literature selected appropriately forming their affections? Are we helping students understand the implicit limitations of science and its benefits to society? Do our children understand what the one thing needful is? Number 3, it should be a priority to partner with parents in the local church communities. Basic to this question of technology in Orthodox education is that we must partner with parents in an intentional and meaningful way. Here I do not mean only sending them data on the increased rates of depression and isolation in our youth in relationship to smartphone usage, or having an occasional presentation or evening talk about technology and its dangers to kids, although these are beneficial. What I mean is that schools need to forge deep partnerships with their parents to support them in their understanding of technology and the role it plays within the lives of our children within the context of the local church community. As Orthodox schools, we have the advantage of a common link between the family, the church, and the school. We must take advantage of this unity of faith across these three areas of our children's lives. The strongest way to support our children is to build a culture and ethos that is seamless within our child's experience, from the home to the school to the church. With such a unity in the children's lives, they will not see conflict between either the school or the family or the local church, thinking that one is, quote, too strict and one, quote, more lenient. Instead, we will present to our children the Orthodox way. Of course, such a unified approach will take work, but isn't that our task as educators? We're seeking to do this heavy lifting with the help of God's grace in order to guide and educate our children toward His heavenly kingdom. Number 4, we need to be acutely aware of the fact that the paradigm of education is increasingly rooted outside of schools and not inside schools. This fact is driven in large part by our modern technologies. Students are constantly taking in information through various mediums, almost nonstop outside of school. These experiences define their expectations within the boundaries of the school. As such, we must be careful not to give in to the standards of learning and communication established by the world. For example, just because every family is on Facebook does not necessarily mean that the school should use Facebook to communicate with families. Just because digital books may be less expensive does not mean we should abandon physical books. Just because we can Google Hangout for a meeting does not mean we should not take the time to meet face to face. Just because every assignment can be put on a digital platform does not mean it should. Just because families have almost direct access to teachers and administrators through smartphone devices via email, phone, or text does not mean we have to respond immediately to every question or concern. Just because parents can access grades anytime, anywhere, does not mean teachers need to have grades constantly updated. Just because students can take notes on digital devices does not mean they always should. Just because we can do something does not mean we should do it. I'm going to turn to a bit more concrete steps for a school. Number five, we should have an inventory of every modern technology used in the school. Number six, we should have an evaluation method for every technology used in the school. What is the kind of information that best facilitates thinking? And what kind of information is facilitated by different technologies? What is the kind of technology that best facilitates the watchfulness in the spiritual life? What does too much information look like, and why is too much information a problem? How does a technology redefine basic ideas of community, friendship, compassion, expressions of gratitude, and so on? What forms of technology trivialize the sacred, confuse the profane with the sacred, and cheapen the beauty of our faith? What kind of biases does a technology present, and how can these biases benefit and cause harm to the schooling of our children? Number seven, we should be able to explain why we use every modern technology in the way that we do, such that it aligns with the Orthodox way of life. This type of exercise may seem excessive at first glance. However, the benefit is as much in the process as it is in the outcome. The example of the fish in the fishbowl presents a challenge before us. There are two fish swimming in a fishbowl. One fish says to the other fish, "How's the water?" The other fish responds, "What is water?" Because the fish lives and breathes in water, the fish is totally unaware of the water that surrounds it. Similarly, we swim in technologies every day. It is hard for us to even identify how we are formed by technology. Taking the time to evaluate and educate ourselves on these deeper recesses of technology in relationship to our Orthodox faith is time well spent. If we do not take the time, we end up thinking we are teaching about history, when perhaps, in fact, we are teaching something quite unintended. For example, we may have students make a song video about a historical period. While they may learn a few things about history, the primary lesson they will learn is that life should be entertaining, that important information can be packaged in superficial and made-up lyrics, and so on. Number eight, every school should have a philosophy of technology statement that summarizes the school's understanding of technology in relationship to their mission as an Orthodox school, and every staff member should know and understand what it means. Number nine, Orthodox schools should integrate understanding the history and nature of technology into the classroom. Let me provide you with a few examples. First, what I have found not to do is start by discussing the issues that are more at the surface with upper school students. Smartphone addiction, how their generation is unique, etc. Avoid these obvious examples that are frequently rejected by students. They hear about them all the time. Look at other historical technologies, for example, the map, the development of the page, the mechanical clock. Have the students try to understand what life was really like prior to certain technologies. That you would not know what someone might have looked like prior to the invention of the photograph, so you would have to judge them by the content of their writing or the sound of their voice. Think about the radio and how you would evaluate a speaker not seeing them versus if you saw them. These are healthy ways to help the students begin to think about technology, how it's ideological, its bias. Take them into these deeper philosophical discussions of media as a metaphor, and media as ideological. Students want this depth to impact the world they live in. And finally, number 10. While modern technology provides a variety of forms of communication, we as Orthodox Christians must always maintain focus on the fact that the most important form of communication for us is prayer. Prayer should be our most important form of communication, and if modern technologies hamper our growth in prayer, then we need to be very cautious. By way of conclusion, we are not adrift. It is important for us to be reminded that we are not adrift in the ocean of technology, although at times it may feel this way. The iceberg can be anchored, and of course the anchor is our Lord Jesus Christ. As St. Justin Popovich teaches, technology is just a flicker of a light, the same as art and education and civilization in the midst of the darkness of the world. These lights are too small to dispel the darkness of the world on their own. It is only Christ, the God-man, who is the inextinguishable and uncreated light who can illumine all things. He is our source of light who brings to light technology, education, culture, art, and civilization to their final and true purpose. Our goal as Orthodox educators in relationship to technology must be to first and foremost enter into that life in Christ without compromise in order to be participants in the light of Christ and guide our students in this time, in this place, in history. To Him be glory now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.